Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for staying with us through the break. This is Dave Hodges, and you are listening to The Common Sense Show, and we like to think of ourselves as the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And to help us in that endeavor, we've got Bob Griswold. We held him over from the first hour where we talked about a lot of issues, everything from biblical interpretations to where we're at and biblical interpretations for self-defense, biblical interpretations for World War III and current events in World War III. And we got a little bit into the domestic side of things as well, too. But this hour, we're also going to incorporate what we feel, and I think a lot of us in the independent media are pretty uniform on this, we are already in a civil war. It's just massive amounts of bodies haven't started piling up yet. But we're already there. We're going to be talking to Bob about that. But before we do, we are brought to you by a couple of sponsors again for this hour, and they make this show possible. We are brought to you by waterwithdave.com. And notice the little nuances we give you with the websites, because we want to make it easy to remember. Listen to me carefully. 218 million of you are drinking water with chromium 6. That's cancer-causing. That was the stuff that was talked about in the Aaron Brockovich movie. 218 million are going to get cancer in bladder, liver and bladder cancer, kidney cancer. It's crazy that this is allowed to go on, and the Alexapure Pro filter does take care of that. And we are really, 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 and I mean emphasize the really, really pleased to be having this, because we think it's the industry standard. And there's a special on right now, and you can go to waterwithdave.com, and you go, well, I know we don't have that in our water. Well, how about pharmaceuticals? How about lead? How about pesticides? 3 out of 4 of you right now have drinking water that if you drink it long enough, it will kill you. And also, too, you can turn standing water into drinking water in case you have to bug out. Waterwithdave.com. We're also brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. And I mean everything that you want under the sun for prepping, for survival is there. And we're going to take a little time as we move through this hour, and we're going to have Bob talk to us about some of these products that we should all have. We should all be in possession of night vision. We should all be in possession of proper firearms. We should all be in possession of various things that are going to enhance our survival. And Bob's going to talk about that. Bob, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us through the break. And let me just say this, to kind of put a cap on hour number one, if you were to tell people what are the top three things that they need to have that they could obtain from ReadyMade Resources, what would you tell them that they should have?
Well, obviously, you know, you do the food and the water thing. Those are top. But I would say this, the ability to communicate. We do not understand how much we take this for granted. Just look at what people do with their cell phones today. It's tied to them. They become an appendage. The ability to communicate, the ability to network with people is going to be critical for what is coming. You're going to have to call for help. You're going to have to call for the cavalry. The cavalry will be those that you've networked with communication, amateur radio. You'll be able to communicate. And I do want to say this. You cannot do it with the handheld little things you buy at Walmart. They might say 30 miles on the box, but take them outside, I bet you get a quarter mile, half a mile. That's as far as you'll get, you know. So I will help anybody set up a communications network. And as you know, I've talked on this broadcast before about setting up those concentric circles of communication with Jesus. Like Jesus had his three, Peter, James, and John, his 12, 70, and more. You know, you need to set up a close group of people very close. You're maybe the inner circle of the people in your group, or your network, your family, and set up the communication with them. Being able to talk without people understanding what you're talking. Some people might call that code, but I'm not going to say that. And being able to do it effectively, so that you know when the times that you would communicate. So if something happens 4 o'clock every other day, even days, odd days, I'm going to be on this frequency to be able to talk. And then how do we switch to other frequencies without saying what frequencies we're switching to? Communication is essential. Again, night vision is a very critical factor. Obviously, we don't have eyes that see in the dark. People do bad things in the dark, and that's why our government spends tens and tens of billions of dollars on the ability to purchase night vision. Fortunately, at this time, the same grade of night vision that the military buys is the same grade of night vision that you can buy. There's no recording, no tracking of it. You do have to be an American citizen, and you can never take it out of the country. It's highly restricted technology as far as exporting it, so you cannot put it in a plane and go down to the Bahamas with it. If they find you doing it, they will probably put you in a cage for a long time. Doesn't sound like what I want to do. So night vision and technology. The food and water and night vision and communication are the same. I think they're the parallel tracks of the train. One is the strategic food and water, the other is the tactical night vision and communication, so the parallel tracks to the train. And then there could be just a plethora of other things underneath that. I think World War's coming. I think being able to have protective equipment that'll protect you from fallout, radiological fallout, will prove in the long run to be a very wise investment. I also think I'm going to throw in a pitch for Steve Quayle. Hope you don't mind. I don't sell it, but as we see our dollar become more and more worthless as you just keep printing them out of nothing, fiat currencies always fail. People globally, I can take a 1 ounce Gold Eagle and go to Timbuktu somewhere in the third world, and people go, I want that. I'll trade you for that. I'll let you out of this country for that. I'll look the other way for that. And so I would say get in touch with Steve and take some of the little pieces of paper assets that you have that really they're not worth the paper that they're printed on, I guess they can say, and trade that for something that has for thousands of years been a negotiable form of currency, gold or silver. And so I think those are some things I would say at the top of the list. But then so many other skills, Dave, tactical skills, intelligence gathering skills, gardening skills. All those things are going to be vastly critical in what is coming to this planet. I mean, if you need it, I would learn how to acquire it now. So whether it's medicines, food, obviously we can store a lot of food, but it doesn't hurt to grow food. And we can grow some of the things that we like, and having fresh food and vegetables are very important. I always tell people also, a lot of people don't realize it, but, sprouting seeds, every 3 days you can sprout and have fresh green things. They don't even need the sun to sprout. Sprouting seeds, and they're packed with nutrition. You can get 5 pounds of sprouting seeds and put those in your diet. So when you're eating any of the freeze-dried prepared foods, it's enzymatically dead food. And so you need to put the living things in your diet. And the easiest way to do that is a sprouting seed. It's very simple. And then all you have to do is just take some sprouting seed, put it in water overnight. And if you don't have a sprouter, you can actually take a clean sock, preferably white one, so don't have any dyes in it. And then just put the seeds in there and keep it damp. And then 3 days later, turn it inside out, and you'll have a bunch of sprouts that you can add with your food. So
I had never thought that. That is absolutely fantastic.
No, it's critical. I mean, I don't care what brand you pick out. We can name all the major brands of freeze-dried food. They're enzymatically dead. I mean, they've been freeze-dried. There's no, living thing left in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so 3 days I can have fresh green veggies, and there's radish sprouts, broccoli sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, bean sprouts. Bean sprouts are fantastic because they're just packed with protein. And so you can just store those. They're not that expensive to store. They store a long time. And so when you're opening the cans of freeze-dried food up or buckets, just have your sprouts and add it with it, and it just makes the digestion of all that food so much easier. So
that is that's something I had never ever considered. I think that's just a fantastic idea. I wanted to ask you one thing though. Do you think that body armor is a good idea?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, sucking chest wounds suck. I mean, just to please, you don't want a sucking chest wound. If we have this advanced medical system that they can treat those kind of wounds, but if that advanced medical system were not there, you know, getting shot in the lung or anything like that is going to be a very difficult thing to overcome and to keep someone sustained. You need to have a generally advanced medical personnel. Some things on hand. I mean, you know, you can get the Hyflin chest seals, which seal the entry and exit wound, and a decompression needle allows the lung to recompress. And you can make some attempts to save people's lives. That way, they're available. We sell them. And, you know, advanced medical supplies, I think, are critical. Having to deal with infection, having to deal with, you know, maybe deeper cuts. Because one thing that people don't think about, in the 18th century, people think the number one death rate for women was childbirth. It was a second. Women cooked using grease and flour around open flame with fluffy clothes.
Oh, my.
It burns. Okay. They were burned. And so burning was a huge death among women in the 18th century. Well, you know, if the electricity goes down, how are you going to cook your food? You're going to probably have some type of open flame, a fireplace, a cook stove, gas or something. And the chance of having a fire where you get burned goes up dramatically when you're around fire. Candles for light, just think of that, and they fall over. I mean, so, again, that goes – again, just another thing, fire suppression. You have fire extinguishers in your home. Being able to deal with that. Oil lamps. I mean, those things will become very, very valuable skills to know. But dealing with burns, I think, will be a big thing. So having medical supplies to be able to do that. One thing people don't realize, it was discovered in World War I, a French physician burnt himself in a laboratory experiment, and he accidentally put some lavender oil on the burn, and he wrote this, you can go and read the history of it, that it suppressed the burn pain greater than what morphine would do, or opium back then, I guess. And I've actually experienced this myself, Dave. I was splitting wood with a wood splitter, and I wasn't paying attention or something, and leaned and touched the muffler, and it immediately put a quarter-sized blister right on my palm. Very, very painful. Well, I went in the house, and, my wife's a naturopathic doctor, so we got the lavender oil, and I put it on the burn, and it was like, oh, my gosh, it stopped hurting. And you've had a burn like that, how bad those hurt. It's like it stopped hurting completely. And I think, well, this is going to be for like 5 minutes, and the pain's going to come back. No, it didn't. So a lot of things like that along the medical in part of it. You might have special meds, so if you can't get higher doses of them. You know, there's people that provide fish antibiotics and other things you can go online and find. Infection will become a big, big issue when we don't have access to modern, medicine, and people are out there doing a lot more physical activity, maybe with, hand tools, chainsaws, axes, things of that, where you have the chance of getting an infection and being able to need to treat it. So that will become huge. Hope that didn't go into too much. I want to drop back to you and answer the question about firearms. Dave, what is one of the ubiquitous things that happens in all wars to women?
They get raped.
Rape. Yeah. I mean, the rape of Berlin, the rape of Nanjing, when the Chinese invaded, when the Japanese invaded China and Nanjing, China, every woman was repeatedly raped. Some women were raped. Some, they just committed suicide rather than get raped anymore. When the Russians went into Berlin, 2 million women. I mean, you read it. And again, I don't want to be too morose about it, but I mean, gosh, I love my wife, Dave. And to me, not to have done something to where I could protect her would be like the worst thing I could think of. Now, my wife has a fourth damn black belt, so she'd probably be protecting me, but I'm kidding there. Yeah, but she's pretty adept at martial arts. But just to think of being able to protect my wife, and again, that all goes back to the firearm question you asked me. And should I train? Should I know? Should I shoot? No shoot? All those questions that a quality training organization addresses. I've been to.
Let me ask you this. You asked about the shoot, no shoot. Let's go there real quick. We're in a civil war situation. Resources are tight, and there's marauders everywhere. Someone's coming to your door. What do you do?
Well, first of all, if you live in the country, you never let them get that far. I would never. If they get to the door, they've violated the perimeter. And once the perimeter is violated, then you've got secondary and tertiary issues. Come to your door. I would say first and foremost, I've heard this. I was just discussing this on somebody else's blog. It's a very popular Facebook blog on survival, and I was stunned at the amount of people that say, "Well, I'd give them a meal." Okay, how do you know that they're not sent there by a criminal gang to scope you out? Oh, they have a little baby. You don't think criminal gangs will use babies to win your heart? I mean, you get. I really have to put the discernment cap on here. You don't let them get to your door. And you always have to be worried about a flanking maneuver, that they're just using those people as a distraction. So when you step outside or whatever, they're scoping you out, what you have, what you don't have. You've got a group of people moving in on you from your flank or your rear or whatever. And so, you know, you don't think people are going to figure that out real quick? Dave, anybody who survives more than a month after a complete collapse is going to have developed some tactics. They're going to have to start becoming street smart. You know, the snowflake yuppie, you know, video game playing people, they're not going to get that far. But the ones that have gained some street smart tactics and everything like that, they're not going to make a frontal approach, because anybody who studied the art of war understands that a frontal battle with tank against tank face on, that's the most costly battle you can fight. You always want to, what did World War II, always wanted to, you know, draw them out. And once you draw them out, you think they're winning, you flank them, and you cut off their resources. Very common tactic in war. And so that person that comes to my door, I don't think they're coming there alone. I'm thinking, who's coming to my back door?
Do you warn them to go away, or do you shoot them on sight? What do you do?
Again, this is something that's going to discern tactics and just discernment. I mean, you're going to have to understand that there will be those truly, truly needy people. And my Christian compassion will want to deal with it. Now, my ideal way to deal with people like that is to clandestinely get them food. You know, they don't know who it came from. My neighbors, you know, at midnight putting food on somewhere where they'll find it. So they don't know where it came from. Dave, I'm just telling you, you let them know you have food, and hunger will absolutely 100% bring them back. So just so you know, when the first time you give them an MRE or a meal, they're going to eat that. A day, 2, 3 days later, they're going to be hungry again. They're going to come back. And this time, you say no. Well, there's a gang down the street. I'm going to go tell them you have food. The federal government has rations. I'm going to go tell the federal government you got storing all this food. You have to think differently.
So what do you tell them? You got people out scurrying for food.
No food, or else. Yeah, we have just the minimum food for my family. I don't have anything to spare. And that's going to be difficult to do. And if you want to feed them, figure a way to do it, you know, where the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. I mean, you don't want to be – you don't want to have your good deeds seen by men at that point. You know, you want them seen by God only, because he's not going to go blabbing on you.
I saw you a movie was kind of a desperation in days kind of thing, and these people faked like they had snipers, and they held a walkie-talkie, and they pretended to send a message, and they just said, "You have until I get on the walkie-talkie and the red dots appear on your body to walk off this property and not come back." And said, "If I communicate with these people, we'll shoot you where you stand." And they left.
Anybody who wanted to defend their property would have snipers. I mean, if you were serious about defending your property, everybody wouldn't be holed up in the house just waiting for somebody to come knocking at the door. You would have to have what's called a roving patrol, and you would have to have the communication to be able to calm with those people. You'd have to be able to operate at night with those people, night vision communication. That's the only way you would stand against, if you wanted to keep your property and keep your safety, you could not ever let anybody approach that close to your dwelling. You would have to have people out there dealing with them hundreds of yards away. If you live in a community, you'd have to shut the community off. and make the choke points, you know, the most, even when a SWAT team raids the house, the most dangerous part of the going in and is at the, what they call the fatal funnel, the front door, because everybody's grouped there at the door. So you have to, you would have to use that kind of logic on marauders or people coming to take what is yours. Dave, nobody that knows anything about history would think that that's not going to happen. That this vision we try to get people sometimes that, you know, you could be living on your solar energy in your recliner watching Jeopardy, eating your MREs. That's not reality. You're going to have to be protective against your family. You're going to have to be. You're going to have to do what Abraham did and what many other godly men, what nations have done against immoral nations. You're going to have to take matters to the next level, whatever that next level is, lethal forces being one of those. Because if you don't, you know, how many times, Dave, have you read or ever seen where a home invasion not only took the you know, the jewelry, the money, the cash, the TVs, computers, but they abused the women? And kind of frequently happens. And sometimes it's a degrading type thing where they just make people role play different things, and I won't go into it too much, but it's very degrading. So home invasions, that thing, it's not going to be just for the food. It's going to take other things of value, which war does, and that happens to be females. You know, they'll take them. And they'll use them for favor. You go do this, and you get that. And a lot of people will go along with that scheme.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Back to the door scenario again, assuming you let it get that far. What's the decision tree on whether to open fire?
You have to tell them, I don't have anything, unless God says otherwise. And so I want to leave room for divine intervention to speak to your heart to do something. But unless that happens, you're going to have to say, I have nothing available. And then if they become hostile at that point, you know, you're going to have to take it to the next level. I don't know what that next level will be. You know, a warning shot, whatever. If you have a roving patrol out there, you know, let them know that they face force that can repel them. And that might work. But if not, and they just continually become hostile, desperate, then, you know, and it's either you or them. I mean, at that point, it's, you know, there's the biblical right of self-defense, and you would have to employ that to protect your family and you know, your provisions. Because as I said earlier, if you have a wife, if you have young children, and they break in, do you think they're going to leave those alone? Do you want to take that risk? Again, do you think that that people knocking on your door are a diversion? So while the front door is being knocked on, somebody's coming in through the back door. That will be an extremely common thing. You can actually see it now. There's actually in bigger cities where a woman or somebody gets out, leaves their car unlocked, and they're on the side pumping the gas in. Since the car's unlocked, somebody opens the door and just snatch and grabs. It's a diversion. It's very, very common. It is the most common. That's what criminals use, diversion, distraction. And you cannot fall for it at that point. You fall for it, it could be fatal. You have to get your situational awareness about you. You know, I recommend sometimes, you know, even if you want to go so far as to deceive, and all Sang Su, all, you know, wars based on deception, go down to Goodwill and buy clothes two big sizes bigger. Make it look like you're hungry. Put those clothes on. You're not going to be trying to win a beauty contest. You're not going to be trying to get into GQ magazine. You're going to try to make it look like I'm hungry like everybody else. So, you know, if you wear a size 10 jean, get size 14s or something like that. But you have to tie them up, make them look like they're loose on you. There'll be a lot of people that look like that.
Bob, I read an article recently that talked about in home defense, if you have a property of any size, it's good to create straw man figures and give them fake arms to make it look like you've got more there than you've got. This was one of the suggestions I read, and let me tell you, this has some basis in Old West history, where cavalry units that'd be, you know, outnumbered at the fort would do exactly that.
Yeah, you know, again, Sang Tzu, the art of war, when you're strong, you make yourself look weak. When you're weak, you make yourself look strong. So that's basic art perception. I mean, you know, worst case, Mad Max has happened. Street signs are coming down. I mean, just all kinds, maybe moved. I mean, all kinds of things will be going on. People will be doing all kinds of things like that to bring deception to where you're at. And so, you know, anybody could not follow a roadmap. You know, they would be very much more difficult to follow a roadmap. And for the snowflakes that they have to use GPS, they won't even know what a roadmap is. So that's a good thing. You know, that's what they say. A lot of people don't know how to read roadmaps anymore. But Dave, the question is, we have to ask, are we heading there? Is this for real, or is this make-believe? Is this Bob and Dave engaging in their fear porn? You know, every historic norm is being challenged. You know, perversion in this country, in this world. I mean, we've elected men who think they're women, and, you know, marriage is destroyed. People can be one of 300 different genders. We see this division among people, Islamic terrorism coming to our country, the borders opening wide up, the massive debt. You know, the government shut down. I mean, people could start getting a story January 6th on it is CBS News. Millions face severe cuts to food stamps due to government shutdown. Now, I doubt if they'll let that happen this time, because they know, well, Dave, what would happen if millions didn't get their food stamps? Hunger.
There would be riots in the street.
Burning down. CBS News needs to get their act fixed. It says government S-H-U-D-O-W-N, shoe down. They have a misspell on their.
Yeah.
Yeah, intelligence level sometimes of people working there, but yeah, it's a misspell. But again, that just the debt, just the different, the division between the government and the people, between, you know, we see the differences among our religions. We have multiple religions now that are very hostile towards one another. I mean, Dave, I mean, when's the last time? I mean, I don't remember ever hearing a politician in front of her children use the MF word concerning Donald Trump in front of her children.
Yeah.
What crassness.
Rashida Tlaib, what a piece of work she is. I mean, they bent the rules for her, right? Let her swear in on the Quran and let her wear her headgear, change the rules for that. And look what a piece of human garbage we elected.
You know, I my one hope here is that, you know, these people are going to be so far, far. I mean, you know, when far, far left Nancy Pelosi is made to look far right by the far left that they've just elected, if you understand what I just said.
Well, I do.
I mean, this is going to get out of control. Nancy Pelosi's not going to be able to control these people. And that's going to be fun to watch, because they've already demonstrated they're not going to listen to her. They're going to do their own thing.
I'm in total agreement with what you're saying there. I totally agree. I mean, Pelosi gave the woman a hall pass for the MF-er, repeated use of the MF-er term. And she gave her a hall pass, and I went off on it on a podcast, because she should have called her out. Inappropriate by any measure. But here's the bottom line, Bob. We are in a civil war. Let me give you an example. And people have kind of laughed at this until they've given it a second and a third look. And they go, one guy wrote to me today and he said, Dave, I thought when you talked about Mitt Romney and Donald Trump, I thought you were crazy until I started contemplating the article and I went back and reread it. Bob, there are three instances where Mitt Romney, and this gets into civil war, Mitt Romney is standing in front of the Hinckley Institute sign. Nothing against the Hinckley Institute, but it's the same family that spawned John Hinckley, who nearly killed President Reagan in an assassination attempt. And three times since 2016, Mitt Romney has ripped Donald Trump in front of that as the background. Yet I went and I traced where he's made his press releases when he ran for the Senate, that he just acquired that Senate seat. I couldn't find one instance when he was in front of the Hinckley Institute. That, to me, it's one of two things. It's an MK Ultra trigger for an assassin, or number two, which I think is more likely, it's a thinly veiled assassination threat to Donald Trump. And that means we are really, really in it in terms of civil war.
Yeah, well, if our president, and God bless him, if he were assassinated, if these people were so foolish as to assassinate him, they would pull back a fist that would be a Mike Tyson fist, I think. And I don't think any of us would enjoy getting hit by Mike Tyson in his prime. You know, he truly could knock us into tomorrow. You know, but again, we see this division among people, and it's just not a division where you, I mean, that's just a normal political division. This is vitriol hatred towards those. Michael Savage just had to go, I guess, into hiding because he's been threatened. And if they, you know, we think, well, that's him. No, that's us. He is us. Because, I mean, if they feel that way towards him, they feel that way towards us. They would do the same thing to us. We're just lower on the food chain than he is. So, yes, these people have murdered. I mean, just like what is socialism, communism, what murdered 100 million people in the last century. I mean, the weapons are better now, so the numbers will get higher. And so it's just, it is there. So we have this religious, race, culture, language, politics, wealth, you know, hostility developing. And, you know, this has no good ending to it. We have forsaken the God that says the black man, the Oriental, the Asian is my brother. We have a common father. Because we've abandoned that, and now we look at everybody as potential hostile agents for some other group or organization that, you know, if you watch movies, you know, how many times derogatory terms were used towards the Asian, the Japanese, and it was designed, I mean, you know, making fun of their, maybe their eyesight or their teeth or, you know, just referring them to primates. And it was all done to generate the ability to kill them easier without any thinking about it. Just, oh, they're not even human. Just kill them. They're, you know, this, that, the other thing. Kill them. We see those same tactics being employed today among the groups in the United States and the world. They're not human. They're not fully human. And how many times now, like in South Africa, I mean, my gosh, the white people down there are being so demonized. You just fan the flames of this fiery hatred. And so it becomes easy to go there. No, they're not human. Kill them. Rape them while you're doing it. You know, torture them, whatever you want to do. It's the more they suffer, the better. And all the while, the people that are doing this, you know, they've used our tax dollars to build their bunkers. And they do have bunkers.
They do. Bob, most civil wars start with a trigger event. Do you have any best guess as to what a trigger event would be? And I'll start off. I think it's the assassination of Donald Trump.
That would be high on the order. I mean, I'll just name out some: EMP, economic collapse, a global pandemic. You know, those would be high trigger points. If whatever happened, something shuts down. I mean, and going back to the communication, Dave, as soon as this civil war breaks out, the first thing the government's going to do is shut down social media, because that's what everybody will be using to organize. You come over here, we'll burn that building down, we'll do this. And they've already have the plans for that kill switch. So once the internet's shut down, once the cell phones are shut down, because cell phones aren't the internet anymore, you know, that's what they are. So they shut it all down. And then, where's my wife? Where's my group? How do I get in touch with these people? That will be step one. Shut it down. Don't let them organize. The government will have their own frequencies to be able to communicate on and organize to put the supplies out to the people that they want to give them to. And you will be left in the dark. And that is the hard facts of it. And
that's why you need communication. So in that instance where, you know, your kid might be going to school in one area and you're working in another and your spouse is in another area of the city, what kind of communications would you recommend that all parties keep at hand 24/7?
Well, you know, people always ask me, first of all, about EMP. You can keep small communications in EMP bags, which will protect it. And most likely, if the radio is not plugged into the charging stand, it will survive an EMP attack. If it's plugged into the charging stand, then it has a million miles of wire behind it, all going all the way out to the wiring in the house, the wiring station, all the way back to the power plant. Then it would burn it out. And this has been done by some pretty credible tests. But the only effective way, as I said earlier, you can go get your handheld walkie-talkie type things for Walmart or wherever, and no matter what the box says, I've played with this stuff, Dave, for decades. Those handheld radios that boast 36 miles, I've got them to go maybe half a mile, maybe a mile, with any kind of terrain, because any kind of obstacle blocks the radio signal. It works on what's called line of sight. So if you live in a city, you're not going to get any distance at all. If you live in North Dakota, maybe you can get a few miles. But so ham radio is going to be the only way to do it. I've actually made some videos of how to increase the transmission rate of your radio. Ham radio, unless it's a CME or something like that, there will be things called repeaters, and there's tens of thousands of them all over the country. Ham radio clubs operate them, and it's basically a retransmitter that's up on a tall building or tower or whatever. We have one here that's about 3,600 feet above sea level. I can hit that thing and talk to Nashville. That's across the state, 400 miles. That's not normal. But generally with ham radio with a repeater, you're going to be able to get 50 to 100 miles, which is basically, it's going to be within somebody's area of operation, meaning your family or your friends are going to be within that operation. I mean, if you're forming groups of people who live in other states and things like that, that's not very prudent or smart or whatever. You need to form, alliances with people who are close by. But let's just say your wife's, 30, 40 miles away, a repeater's going to be easier to reach her. You better talk to her. Our rendezvous point is Alpha. And again, you never say the Shell gas station on the corner of Road A and Road B. That might be, location Alpha. You have location Bravo as your backup, location Charlie. My frequency would not be 145.250. My frequency would be Charlie 2, whatever you want to make it. I would do that so anybody listening is not going to be able to show up at the place that you're going to do where you could be ambushed. Those are things that communication would be absolutely valuable. If it happens at night, what do? Your wife has to drive home at night or get home at night. We don't think of that. It's always during the day, never rains, and it could be bright and sunny, and everything will be hunky-dory, and you can hike home your 15 miles without being molested. That's not reality. The old saying in the Marine Corps, at least I know, if it ain't raining, we ain't training. You have to plan for inclement obstacles that are going to be in your way, night being one of them. And actually, with night vision, I would rather travel at night because most people won't be able to, and I'll be able to just move with a less engaging people if I had to get home. And that allows me to do that. So that'd be my preferential way of movement is at night and then sleep during the day. Everybody else would be out moving around during the day. And I'd find some height somewhere and just go get snug as a bug and wait till dark again and start hiking home again.
Are you talking about bugging out now?
Bugging home. What happens if you're 30 miles away from home and you got to get home?
Oh, yes.
Nighttime.
That's going to be a multi-day.
It's never night. It never rains. Yeah, it's never cold. In these scenarios, it's never those things in all these survival books. It's always nice and pretty outside and nice 60-degree days the whole time you have to hike across the country. But that's not the way reality works. Reality is it's going to be raining. It's going to be cold. There's going to be inclement things along the way. You have to plan for those things.
Okay. Let's recreate the scenario, Bob. Let's recreate it here so people will recognize it when they're in it. I'm driving down the road, and I come to a stop sign, and all of a sudden, everything quits. Car won't restart. I pull my cell phone out. I'm going to call AAA for roadside assistance. My cell phone's destroyed. It's not working. Is that the signs that you look for then, that when your cell phone's not working after your car shuts down, that you're in the middle?
Yeah, well, turn your radio on in your car. If you have a radio, turn it on. If it even comes on, and see if there's any stations out there. If you have an AM radio, even ham radios generally have the AM FM frequencies programmed into them. So you could actually switch over to the AM FM frequencies and start spinning that dial. Go over to NOAA. NOAA's usually in the 160 megahertz range. Flick on NOAA. NOAA's 24/7. If NOAA is down and you're listening to static on their frequency, you've got problems.
Okay, so you abandon your car. You've got your bug-out bag with you. Hopefully you have a firearm with ammunition. You've got minimal supplies, some food and water, and you're trucking for home. You truck at night. Is that correct?
If you have night vision, yes. I mean, if you don't, you're going to get hurt. You're not going to be able to see well enough. You're going to hit a pitfall or something else, or running to people, some other group that you don't want to run into. I mean, with night vision, someone's smoking a cigarette. I can see them at hundreds of yards away. A little flashlight, I'll see it hundreds of yards away, and I'll just be able to plan to avoid that.
Let me continue. I want you to keep me alive, okay? So let me continue.
Okay.
Let's start with topography for a minute. I'm in a residential area when this occurs. So I don't have night vision. Do I kind of like dart from house to house using the houses as cover, or should I just walk down the street merrily on my way?
Well, you got to figure either way is fraught with danger, because if you're darting from house to house, how many other people are darting from house to house. And sooner or later, you're going to hit some people that have said, hey, you help me, I'll help you. You can get 10, 15 people doing that. Let's go find those that are by themselves, and we'll take what they have. That scenario will happen pretty quickly.
Yes, I agree.
People figure it out. So, again, this is where night vision is. It allows you to avoid that. Avoid it because, again, the streetlights won't be bright. If it's been a CME or an EMP, the streetlights aren't going to be on. You're going to be seeing stars that you've never seen before because the light pollution has prevented you from seeing them. So people might have candles in their home. They might have some kerosene lanterns or things of that nature, but that would quickly be diminished.
You're going to be the guy at the door. You're going to hear gunshots, people screaming. I mean, I think the whole thing for, you know, a novice is who hasn't had SEALs training or something like that, it's going to be really disconcerting with the sounds of violence they're going to hear.
You know, if you've ever heard the sounds of violence, Dave, it sticks with you the rest of your life. You know, I remember my son when he was in Iraq. He was fighting in the Battle of Fallujah as a Marine, and he brought home some video. One of the videos was a dog running down the street with a human arm in its mouth. You know, I mean, that is just Mad Max surrealistic type scenario. You know, it's sobering. It's disturbing. It's mentally taxing. You know, and if it's not, then you've got a sociopath on your hands. That's why I recommend those things. And again, you know, taking the food that they get, and putting some in their vehicle, the ability to have a water filter, printed road maps that are laminated, obviously, because it never rains in apocalyptic scenarios, but in my apocalyptic scenarios, it does rain. If you have paper maps, what's going to happen? You want them laminated. Now, the fortunate thing is they make laminated maps you can buy today. You know, all the highway system in America or your state or wherever, they're laminated. And so you want to do that. You know, flashlight with a red light. You know, most people don't understand red light is the only color light of the spectrum that doesn't degrade your night vision. That's why when you see people in war movies using red light, that's what they're doing. They're protecting their normal night vision.
The other thing that I've read before on these disaster scenarios, I read about a guy, he said, if I was caught in an urban, suburban environment, and he says, I have my night vision with me all the time, he said, I would travel at night, he said, but I will tell you this, he said, I would hug the curb, and I would go from abandoned vehicle to abandoned vehicle, and he said, I might go a block, but I'm going to kind of hide out and get the lay of the land by going under a car. That way, if people are passing, they don't see me.
You know, the tactics of just gunfights are, if you're in a hallway, you hug the wall. You don't walk in the middle of the hall. The tactics of safety in a parking lot is you walk. That's different than you do walk in the center. So you have to know what you're doing and the tactics of it. But yes, if you're coming home, bugging home, trying to get home at night, you're going to want to hug the woods. You're going to want to hug that way you blend in, you know, because somebody else might have night vision. I mean, it's more of a remote possibility, but more and more people are buying it, I tell you. And if you're walking down the middle of the road just by yourself, you're going to be seen. Even if there's a little moonlight out, you'd still see somebody walking. I mean, we all know that once you've been outside for a couple hours, you do have a certain level of night vision where if somebody was walking in a moonlight night, you'd see them. So if you're walking on the edge of the woods or, you know, along those shadows, you're not seen as easily. So that would be important to do. And again, if you wear bright white clothes or something to work, just put some darker clothes in your bug-out bag, not black. Black does silhouette you at night. It's one of the worst camouflages you can buy is all black. The multicam pattern or just even woodland colors, you know, you don't want to look military, but just, you know, wood colors, dark greens, you know, those.
Speaking of military, National Guard, police, how many imitators will you see designed to lure people in to a sense of safety and then do what they will with them?
Every tactic of deception will be employed. Again, there's the 30-day mark. If you've survived 30 days, you've developed tactics. If it's 30 days into a scenario where the power's been off and people are not getting any kind of service, the grocery stores are down, you've got people that are getting smart. And you better get equally as smart or smarter. And you better learn to read it very carefully to avoid them and to just be put on high alert all the time. You know, there's the, you know, white, yellow, orange, and red code alert system for our personal situational awareness. You know, most Americans stay in white. They just nonchalantly walk out looking at their cell phones, walk off cliffs, walk into traffic because they're looking at their cell phone. That's, you know, the worst thing you can do. Yellow is a good condition to maintain yourself at. That means I'm situationally alert. I walk out of a building. Before I walk out of a building, I look around to see if there's any threats or dangers. I don't walk, weave in between the traffic. I don't go to places that are near higher risk. I might go to the mall on Wednesday at 2, not Friday at 7, because that's people who want to do active shooters want to go when there's high body counts. So they're employing this yellow mentality of being a situationally alert on a low level all the time. If Teotihuacan happens, or, you know, the crap hits the fan thing, that you're not going to be able to even stay in that zone. You're going to have to move it to the next one, which is orange, which means you really do situation awareness. People, everybody becomes, if you don't know them, everybody becomes a potential hostile agent towards you. They might be driven by whatever. I mean, Dave, one in every five Americans in this country is chemically altered by benzodiazepines, opiates, name the drug. They're chemically altered. Their brains are altered. And they might be 2 or 3 days into not having their drugs, their benzos or their opiates or whatever. And, you know, there's millions and millions of people on them. And this isn't to degrade anybody on opiates or because there are people truly in pain that need those drugs. But when they're not there, they're going to get desperate, hungry and desperate for the drugs, and hunger is going to drive them. And so at that point, you know, you have to step it up to the next stage of alertness, saying that every person becomes a potential hostile agent towards me, and I want to avoid them.
Exactly. Well, let's start telling people some of these essentials that they need to get. You've mentioned night vision on a number of occasions here, and I think logic dictates that people do this, but night vision has one prohibition. It's a little bit on the costly side. Let's address that.
Yeah, it is costly, and I ask people, what is their life worth? For me, I consider it the top tier survival item, and I want to address this. The cheap night vision, the $500 unit or $1,000 unit, it employs what's called an active IR source, infrared light. Now, you don't see infrared light unless you have night vision on. When I go outside, I have infrared cameras, and a lot of people have infrared cameras. And those cameras that you can't see with your unaided eye are on, but you just don't see the light because it's in the infrared spectrum, light the place up like Broadway. So cheap night vision has to employ infrared light technology to make it work. That means you take a pair of night vision that's $500, you mount it to your head, there's an infrared light glowing from it, you've just put a bright dot right on your forehead.
Exactly. Yeah.
For anybody with real
exactly.
night vision.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. So let's talk about what you offer at Ready Made Resources with regard to night vision.
Well, I mean, I know we have the best price on it. We have the newer technology night vision is in the what's called white phosphor. We've all seen ubiquitous green images that you've watched any kind of war movie or whatever, recent war movie where they've had night vision. 13 hours is when they have the green night vision. Well, now it's gone to white phosphor, which is all white to gray images, and that gives you far more contrast because if you look at it from a palette's perspective, you have more color differentiation between white to black than you do green to black. So the white phosphor technology is what everybody's moving to, and we have a white phosphor, top of the line. I mean, this is military grade night vision, the best stuff you can get, acquire under $3,000. And I know that sounds a lot, but it is what will keep you alive. Absolutely. Dave, you can buy your food, you can buy the water filters, you can buy it all, but if you cannot defend it, you will not keep it. And being able to defend it at night is going to be and prove a necessity. I challenge anyone, ask any operator who's used night vision to defend his life, defend his property, or defend it like a base or people, what that technology is worth. I mean, just look at it this way. I mentioned earlier you had to be a U.S. citizen to buy night vision, and you cannot take it out of the country. The federal government knows the benefit of it so much so that if you get caught exporting night vision, they can send you to prison for 10 years and fine you $1 million per incident.
Okay. You've convinced me. You can't go with the cheap stuff. I get it. And most bad acts are going to happen at night. Let's talk quickly about communication. We got about 2.5 minutes left. And I wanted to make sure, because if I don't get you to answer this, Bob, I'm going to be answering emails for a week.
Go ahead. So communication, ham radio is the thing. Get your ham radio license. I want to address this real quick. I'm just going to buy the radios. I won't need a ham license after the catastrophe. Well, let me ask you questions. What's the offset frequency of your repeater? Does it require a tone to activate the repeater? Is it a positive negative offset to your repeater? How do you change from channel mode to frequency mode? Do you think people are going to figure that out when they're under stress, Dave? When they just open the box up after the crap has hit the fan and goes, why, I can turn it on. What other survival skill would somebody employ that with? I'm just going to buy a gun and stick it in the closet. I'm going to buy a bunch of garden seeds and never learn to garden.
Okay, so here's the stuff. Let me go to this. So you need ham radio and you need training, and it's not that hard. And then you would need basic communication between your family members, too. What do you recommend for that?
Bofang makes some very good radios. Those are entry-level radios. We have packages with Bofang radios. I have personally switched to, and I have to say this, but there's a knockoff of what Harris Company makes. Is a 150, it's called a PRC 152. I use those radios, and they are phenomenal. I mean, they have a basic form of encryption, which most radios don't have. They are made out of aluminum housings. They have a very powerful battery in it. We've actually taken maps and see my comm points how far it'll transmit. It transmits 5 to 6 times further than Bofangs. The problem is they're right at $400 a piece. But and then they'll also fit a military headset. So a Comtac 3 or something like that has a military headset.
So the bottom line is though, because we're running out of time here, I want to cut right to the chase. The bottom line is people are going to say, I've heard enough to know that I need some of this stuff, but I don't know enough to make the right choice. There's one thing about you that I do know, Bob. Exactly, you are about the only guy I know in prepping who personally takes calls from potential customers or existing customers and will actually consult with them for free, won't you?
I'll help him. I mean, my son, if people don't know how to do it, he'll program your radio for you. He charges a little fee. He has a little business going with us. It's not much, but he'll look at your zip code and program all the repeaters in for that area. So all you have to do is go channel 1, 2, 3, 4, and you'll hit those repeaters. I mean, we'll help you any way we can. I'll even teach you how to do it yourself if you want to, how to access it, where your ham radio clubs are at. I'll gladly help anybody do that. You know, we've been very active in that community for a long time. I've done a lot of training with the night vision stuff. I'll gladly help anybody with that. So just if you give me a call, we're organic gardeners. My wife's a naturopathic doctor, martial artist. I mean, I shoot a lot, tactics, intelligence gathering, all that.
Bottom line is you're there to help people with any of the things we've talked about and even more. ReadyMadeResources.com is the website to go look at this stuff. Bob, give out your number quickly.
800-627-3809. And Dave, I want to close by saying this. This is not meant to, there's two times of fear. A fear that paralyzes and a fear that motivates. You know, the Bible tells us to fear God. And that motivates us to do the right thing when we fear God.
I agree.
If we fear just for fear's sake, it paralyzes us. I challenge you. This is my challenge. I want to motivate you to fear of what is coming so that you motivate yourself to do that which is necessary to protect your family and those that are your loved ones around you.
Exactly.
If we can do that, that's my prayer.
Bob,
that motivates you.
We got to scoot on that note. We are flat out of time. ReadyMadeResources.com. I hope you've benefited from this. Our sincere thanks to Bob Griswold from ReadyMade Resources for coming on and enlightening as to how we can handle these upcoming scenarios. God, pray that we don't have them, but if we do, you're one step closer to surviving them. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Dave. God bless.